And this week I wanted to talk about, we've been talking about friends of Jesus and friends in general and so forth, and Jesus certainly is our best friend, but we have earthly friends too. And my question has always been, and I know I have made that mistake in times past where I chose the wrong friend. I don't know, maybe all of us have at one time. But I run across an article that was reported by the Hollywood Reporter who interviewed Angelina Jolie. Now, she's an actress. And the reporter asked her, "Who do you talk to when you need advice?" "Well," she says, "I really don't have those kind of relationships. Maybe it's losing your parents when you're young, and maybe it's working all the time, and maybe it's somebody who betrayed you a lot. I don't have a lot of warm, close relationships." Well, there it is, choosing the wrong friends, or even being betrayed by somebody that we trust, which makes us cynical. We can grow fearful of friendships, and I don't want that for you or me. We need close friends, but we also need the wisdom to select our friends very wisely. In fact, the wise wisdom comes from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, where it says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." I think that's especially true when it comes to the spiritual forces around us. And I certainly believe that we're living at a pivotal point in history. We're in the midst of tumultuous, unprecedented change, even war. And we're at constant risk of deception and manipulation and overwhelming ungodliness. And we're tempted to compromise our faith, all of us, because the pressure has intensified. Well, I think they're coming at us from very diverse perspectives and all the challenges that we have. So we need to choose our friends and influences carefully. The Bible calls all of this the spirit of the Antichrist. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. He's talking about the man of lawlessness who will personally appear at the end of the age and be possessed by satanic power. Now, I know he's coming because the Bible describes him in very many passages, including up into the book of Revelation. But the Apostle John told us the spirit of Antichrist will precede that man. Even in John's day, the spirit of anti-Jesus was in the atmosphere. Even Jesus told us, "Test the spirit and make sure it's of me." There was so much deception around about Jesus. And then John also wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, he said, "Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." There it is. If someone or something doesn't align with God and His Word, or discredits Jesus as Lord, that's the spirit of Antichrist, and it's at work, and it's not trustworthy. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, is true, a true Messiah, and a true friend, because He is both God and man. He is Messiah, the Anointed One, the same forever. So the world is not our friend, that's for sure. And we listen to the Apostle John, what he said a little bit earlier in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. He says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Dear children, I love it when he says that. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. Wow. That's why you always have to keep your spiritual eyes open. Hey, physical eyes too. You don't want to fall down, but certainly keep your spiritual eyes open. Don't love the world with its lust and pride. They represent the spirit of Antichrist. Instead, do the will of God. Teach your children about the distinguishing characteristics of holiness. We as Methodists understand Wesleyan holiness, and we need to help them to recognize good from evil. help them to understand why we as Christians are different. It's more important that where you sit in church or what translation you follow. It's more important that if you use the Bible, study the Bible, use it for your own family devotions. Now, we talked about this week in my scripture reading about the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in verse 31, he said, "Use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away." Now, I think we all want to have better friends, and we want to certainly be a better friend with Jesus than you are with the world. It's quiet place in your heart. It's the ambition of your life in the things that you're striving for. Let Christ be Lord. Let him hear that you are his true friend when it comes to your calendar, your checkbook, your expenditures, your entertainment, your happers, and friends. Friendships make a difference. Whenever we go to Israel, it's always been a wonderful blessing to have guides. Always when you go on tour in Israel, you have a Muslim guide, you have a Christian guide, you have a Jewish guide, and even once in a while, just a secular guide. And our friend Alan Jackson, which I love very dearly, telling a story when he had the group that he took to Israel on a tour. Now, Judy and I experienced something similar to this when we were going up to Jerusalem from Jericho, and we went over at the top of the Valley of the Shadow of Death, and you look down, and the people on the bus was like, "Oh, don't get too close." But Alan Jackson tells a story when he had a tour in Israel. And he says, "I often ask the bus driver to take a little highway down from the Golan Heights." He says, "It's a dynamic road, and it's very incredible with its views, but it's also a nail-biter for some of the people in the bus." He said, "On one occasion, when we inched around the switchbacks, I sensed the driver and the guide were having an anxious conversation. And now they were speaking in Hebrew, and I couldn't really make out what they were saying, but the driver suddenly brought the bus to a stop on a hairpin turn, and the guide ran out and found a large rock, which he wedged between the wheel. Oh, sticking his head in the door, he said, 'Alan, get them out of the bus. We're going to evacuate the bus quickly. We just learned that the brakes went out.' Alan said, 'I got a bottle of water and found a shady spot, and I didn't worry about it at all because we were safe. Because the guide was a good friend of mine,' he said, "and it was with his responsibility to get us back to the hotel." It's amazing because the guides will never take you any place. We never knew there was anything going on in Israel when we were on tour because the guides always protected the tourists. But my friend, Alan said, was taking care of us, and he knew the language, he knew the culture, and he knew the available buses. And he had a phone. So he spoke the language, and he solved the problem. At the end of the trip, we got back to the airport okay, and there was never any more incidences. Although sometimes thousands of flights get canceled, and it wasn't the case with us. We had 400 people, he said, stranded with no flights home. Reminded me when Judy and I were stranded in Egypt during 9/11. But Alan goes on to say, "But it was my responsibility and my Israeli friend. He was there for us. Thankfully, we have friends who are good and with last-minute travel logistics. And that's the way it is when you travel with educational opportunities out of Lakeland. They help us. They make our way home. And when we were stranded in Egypt and the airports finally opened up, they always make arrangements for your return flights in advance. And it just so happened that when the airports opened back up, we were in the queue. Now, we didn't go directly home. We had to go to Frankfurt, Germany, and we had a layover there. But we ended back up in Tallahassee, safe and sound." So I said all that to say this, because a friend makes all the difference. But only if it's a true friend. And I don't think there's any truer friend than our Lord Jesus Christ. He will never give up on us. He will never leave us. He forgives us. He loves us more than he loved his own life. In fact, he gave up his life for us. The strength and encouragement makes Jesus a better friend than the world, with all his lusts and pride. He is a true friend. The spirit of Antichrist is not in him, that's for sure. So he overcomes the world. He loves overcomers. That's the book of Revelation. It's all about being an overcomer. So ask the Holy Spirit to show you if you're tolerating too much of this present world order. Don't hold out on Jesus. You don't want to be his friend in one setting and then deny him in another. No, he needs to be your friend all the days of your life. And you don't want to be prepared to acknowledge him. You always want to, as Wesley said to preachers, always keep a sermon in your hip pocket because you never know what you're going to be called upon. And that's the way it is with our friend Jesus. Be prepared to acknowledge him and share the hope that we have. Not only on Sunday in church, but all the days of the week. Turn away from anything in your life, routines, habits, or relationships, or diminishing righteousness, and seek the Lord. Spend less time talking about foolishness and watch the news less. Now, that's hard for me because I'm a news junkie. Because I want to know what's going on in the world, because I think it's important for me to try to understand what's going on according to what the Bible tells us. But spend less time online, even tracking down your theory of the week, and spend more time thinking about the person of Christ, your true close friend. Look for evidence of God's activity in your life. Keep your eyes on the invisible realities of God rather than the visible mirages of this earth. Now, I got a lot of suggestions about that, but use your voice and influence and encourage things like the holiness and the purity, and speak up. Be a public advocate for them. Act out the truth that you know and be true to your friend Jesus, because he is the one who will never betray you. He's a true friend, the truthful, personified love from God himself, and it is nothing but the truth. I'm going to close with this. I found this. This is a little quote from a Lutheran pastor from way back in the 1600s. And this is what he said. My truest friend abides in heaven. Our earth, our friends are rare and few. The world no proof to me has given. Our friendship constant, firm and true. And so my soul does here contend that Jesus is my truest friend. I hope and pray he's your friend too. Have a wonderful, blessed day.